This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. He delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing.
The grace of God has reached for me and pulled me from a raging sea. On this solid ground, the Lord is my salvation. I will not fear when darkness falls. His strength will help me scale these walls. I'll see the dawn of the rising sun. Is my salvation.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service, to our online worship at Bethesda this morning. It is really good to have each and every one of you with us. And that's been a lovely song of praise and worship that we've just shared in together. The Lord is my salvation. And I'm sure you noticed how many images from the Psalms that we've considered in recent weeks are included within that song. So I'm Paul, and I have Andrew here with me as well this morning. Andrew, it's really good to be with you once again. And how have you been in this past week?
Oh, very well, thank you, Paul. No, it's things are going well, and it's very nice to see you again as well.
Thank you. And Andrew, just one thing that's sort of nagging at me and worrying me a little bit, that I've heard of a faith which can move mountains, and we seem to have evidence of it in front of our eyes, because the Matterhorn has gone from that, from it. We normally see it there, almost like a hat above your head, the white peak, and it's not there. So what have you done with the Matterhorn, Andrew? I'm just a little bit worried about it.
No, you don't need to worry. The Matterhorn is still there. This was a little snap I took from the central pillar of Mont Blanc a few years ago. And the Matterhorn is about 50 miles to the east, right over my shoulder there. So it's still there, away in the distance. It's all safe and sound.
Well, that's very reassuring, Andrew. So what have you been doing? I've been dodging the showers, really. It seems like that, out in the garden a little bit this week. But what's been happening that's been of interest for you in this past week?
Yeah, well, one of the things I enjoyed doing was I nipped into the quay on Wednesday. It was just really lovely. There was folk around. I mean, it wasn't packed, but there was a nice group of people around. People coming and meeting friends, having teas and coffees, having light lunches. It was also my time meeting as well in one of the rooms. And yeah, it was really encouraging. It was really nice just to see people and see a number of folk from the church as well. And Julie and the team are doing a really good job. It's safe. It feels secure. It's really great. So I'm really encouraged by that.
Oh, that's really lovely. And that'll be something for us to continue to remember in our prayers. So important, really, that the quay is back and operating now, and operating in a very, very safe way. So that would encourage people to go along and to participate. So, Andrew, I think you're going to lead us in prayer at this point, at the commencement of our worship.
Yes.
Thank you.
So let's pray together. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love and grace that has reached out to us, that you come and reach out to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that as we come to share in this time of worship and of fellowship, that you will presence yourself with us, and that we might have a lovely sense of meeting together with you. We thank you for the encouragement in that psalm that was read, Psalm 34, which at the beginning says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And we pray, Lord, that you will indeed receive our praise this morning, that they might come from hearts that are seeking to live for you. Lord, we're so conscious that sometimes we wander away from you and we disobey you and we disappoint you. And we come again to ask for your forgiveness and for your cleansing, for your enabling, that we might live lives which are increasingly pleasing to you. We thank you for your strength and for the assurance of your faithfulness towards us, for the salvation and life we have in the Lord Jesus. Who is there like the Lord our God, strong to save, faithful in love? We thank you that you know about each one of us today, that you know and understand the circumstances and concerns of our lives. Lord, we pray that through this time together, that you will speak to us, that you will help us in our walk with you. We pray, Lord, that you will draw near to us as we seek to draw near to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I've got five pictures for you to look at this morning and to think about. And with each picture, I'd like to ask you to think whether it makes you happy or sad, how you feel about the picture, whether it's a positive or a negative image as far as you're concerned. Let's just look at the first one together. Here is our picture one. And as you'll see, it's a picture of sunshine. And my feeling about this would be that it makes me very happy. I love the sunshine. It reminds me of summer holidays, of going to nice warm places, of maybe visiting Cornwall and having a really nice sunny day on the beach. So that's my feeling about that picture, but maybe you feel rather differently. And you might want to just talk now, if you're watching this as part of a family group, just have a chat together about how the first picture makes you feel. Well, let's come to our second picture now. Take a look at it. And again, how does it make you feel? Is it a positive or a negative picture as far as you're concerned? And our third picture, rather different this one. What do you think of it? How does it make you feel? And our fourth picture, different again, may well produce some different feelings as far as you're concerned. And then finally, our fifth picture. Well, I wonder what you came up with as you watched those different pictures come up on the screen. Some of them I wasn't so keen on. The bowl of washing up didn't appeal to me very much. It seemed like a bit of a chore, but obviously it's an important job. The picture that had the mountains with the snow on the top, again, I felt very positive about that. I love mountains. I love seeing hills and valleys. And if there's snow on the top of a mountain, then I'm even more delighted. Well, we're going to watch a video now, and I want you to notice how the young woman who tells her story in this video has a very, very different feeling, a very different attitude to many of the things that we've been talking about. She lives on a mountainside, for example, but that actually makes her life very difficult. So this young woman's name is Doreen, and she's going to tell us her story and her sister's story. And I want you to notice particularly what she has to say to us about water.
I'm Richard Chambers, this is my brother Peter, and we both row for the GB rowing team and are both Olympians. We train 5 hours each day. Your body feels totally wrecked. Your muscles are sore, the heart's pumping. It's painful, but it's what we do. Water for me means rowing.
My name is Doreen. I'm 13 years old. To me, water is life. I wake up early in the morning and wash before doing chores around the house. Then my sister and I dig the garden before fetching water. I began fetching water when I was around 5 years old. It takes us 2 hours each time, and we fetch it twice a day. It's a hard journey. If I walk too fast, I get chest pains. At times it's painful, but it's what I have to do to survive.
We are here in Uganda to collect clean water to see if we can do it like the Ugandan girls. The walk is really difficult. Whenever it's wet, it can be really slippy and dangerous, but also it's really steep on the way up. Finishing it, I just couldn't believe that these girls do this every day, twice a day. I think if I came out here and tried to shadow them for 7 days, honestly think by the third or fourth day, having done that twice a day, I think I'd be on my knees.
I once met some boys who were grazing cattle. They got hold of me and took my water. I fought to get away as I knew I would have been attacked. I prayed to God to help our family to move forward.
My prayer is that this community, they get water, because water here is very scarce. The money that your fund gives help the community through the diocese to build the tanks and water jars so that people can benefit from water.
Peter and I both choose to do what we do, to row every day. These girls need to do what they do every day just to stay alive. It's just heartbreaking that I'll go home and I'll wake up and I'll know that right now Doreen and Juvelette are halfway up that mountain in southwest Uganda.
I'd be so happy if we had a tank, as it would solve our problem. But I think I will continue to fetch water until I die.
We can change this by supporting Tear Fund and its partners who provide clean water to communities like this.
So I found that a really challenging video to watch. Just incredible to think of what these two young girls achieve in the course of every day, the stamina that they show, and the tremendous struggle of bringing that water all the way up from the lake up to their mountain village. And Andrew, it just struck me as I was watching that one of the dangers perhaps of COVID-19 and coronavirus is that we do get very taken up with the battle against it, and that's understandable, but perhaps we can almost forget some of the other needs that would normally be very much at the forefront of our minds. I've been thinking today that we would normally have celebrated our harvest Thanksgiving in church, sometime probably at the end of September, and that's not been possible this year. But it's important, isn't it, that we don't forget those needs that we would normally cater for at the time of harvest. And so, Andrew, I just wondered, what do you feel that we as Christians can do faced with needs such as this one in Uganda and obviously needs in other parts of the world that we've just been considering?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, coronavirus understandably has eclipsed everything in our mind. It is the main story. It's the big concern for us here. And as you say, we can forget that the other issues in the world are still there that were there before. Yeah. That, you take malaria, for example, you know, that devastates hundreds of thousands of lives every year. And yes. Yeah. For us to face the consequences of coronavirus are dreadful. But in some parts of the world, through something like malaria, people are facing immense challenges constantly that have never gone away, and we can forget this.
Yes.
I think the three things are still very much central, which is, to be informed. It's difficult to follow every story, and you can't have an encyclopedic knowledge of every situation in the world.
That's
but we, there are things that come to our attention that we trip up over, and it's good, I think, to pause and to be informed where we can. And an organization like Tear Fund, for example, is excellent in that they work in 49 different countries and they have a really good flow of information. There's other organisations, of course, as well. So I think to be informed, and that being informed, I think does move our hearts. And
certainly I think does. Yes.
It brings out a response of prayer, because we often feel our inadequacy and our helplessness, yeah. But we know that God is able to corral and bring resources into situations and change. But also that change is also brought about through the giving of people, and that we can give, we can engage practically through giving financially. And of course, often on our Harvest Sunday, we are happy to support Tear Fund and also Find here in our own town. And there is in Family News the details of how people can do that. I came across a wee verse in Proverbs, and it says this, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 31, "He oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honours God." And I think it does start with our hearts. It starts with a desire to please the Lord, to see people as created in his image, to demonstrate his compassion as his people into the lives of others.
Well, thank you, Andrew. That's really helpful. And I would just encourage people, as you've said, to go onto the Tear Fund website. There is so much. As I was searching and finding the One Big Mountain video, that there were a whole range of choices. And there's a good deal there this year, particularly about the needs of Syrian refugees. So something to encourage people to have a look at some stage. And it provides real information for prayer and for giving as well. So thank you for sharing that thought with us this morning.
Shall be forever Jesus, my firm foundation in shifting sands, my strength and hope through many fears and failures, the disappointments of the past. His constant love has held me fast. Companion through the valley, when dearest one.
reading continues in Psalm 34 from verse 15 to 19. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and saved those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. This is the word of God.
It was back in 2017 that Angela and I experienced the sound of silence. We were on a small cruise boat on a fjord called Doubtful Sound, a vast expanse of water surrounded by towering mountains. And we had been up and down the whole length of the fjord. We'd seen seals and all kinds of other wildlife. We'd seen and heard thundering waterfalls. We'd got out almost as far as the Tasman Sea at the mouth of the fjord. And then on the way back, we came to a part of the fjord where there were no other cruise boats around. We seemed to be absolutely alone, and it was at this point that the captain told us over the tannoy that he was going to switch off the engines and we were going to experience the sound of silence. And he asked that everybody would just come up on deck and that we would just stand in silence and just appreciate the wonders of nature that were all around us. And I have to tell you, it was an amazing experience. There was absolutely not a sound to be heard. Everybody on the boat observed the sound of silence very carefully. And although we could hear nothing, it was also as if we could hear very much the voice of God in creation. We've been thinking and reading in the Psalms in recent weeks. And the Psalms often tell us that God speaks to us through creation. We heard about that last week as Andrew spoke to us from Psalm 19. We often hear how creation itself, even though it appears not to have a voice, it does. The voice of creation telling us of the great God of wonders goes out throughout the earth. So the sound of silence was really a very special memory, a very special occurrence for us. I have to tell you that it was rather spoiled towards the end, because just after about 2 minutes, I think, of our sound of silence, a group of kayakers suddenly appeared around the corner of the fjord, and they began to wave and to shout to us. And at that point, the captain of our cruise ship obviously decided to cut his losses and started up the engine again. But we'd had just an amazing experience, an experience of real in-depth listening. And last week, of course, Andrew was telling us how important it is that we listen, that we have a God who speaks. He has spoken to us through creation. He speaks to us through his word. And supremely, he has spoken to us through his Son, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is so important that we listen. But today, as we turn our attention to Psalm 34, we have a different picture, another amazing picture within the poetry, because this morning we're thinking about the God who listens. And the first thing that I'd like to share with you from Psalm 34 is that you are heard. Now, I wonder how good a listener you are. I have to tell you, my track record on this is not always very good. Sometimes I ask Angela a question about something that's due to happen, and she'll say to me, but I told you. I told you what was. I told you what I was going to do. And it's evident that I appeared to be listening to what Angela had to say to me, but in fact, I wasn't hearing. I wasn't actually taking much notice of what she had to say. Sometimes the boot is on the other foot, and there are occasions, particularly when Angela is really absorbed in a book, when I know that my messages are not really getting through. I can remember being on holiday in a lovely hotel room, and I was enthusing about how wonderful it all was, and Ange was sat on the bed reading a book and saying, yes, yes, it's lovely. But I could see from the look in her eyes that really she had very little idea what I was saying. So I did what I sometimes do, which is I threw in a bit of nonsense to see how she would respond, and said, yeah, it's a lovely room, but it's a real pity that those people just up above us keep pushing that rubbish down through the floorboards, isn't it? Yes, it is, said Angela, and just continued with her reading. And at that moment, it was clear that there was some listening, maybe superficial listening, but not hearing. We have a God who really does listen. In this psalm, in this poem, David, and it is another psalm of David, David tells us that the ears of the Lord are attentive to the righteous. He's talking about those who are seeking to follow God. We could certainly apply this to ourselves as the church, as God's children. And the word that David is using here for attentive is all about real listening. It's about in-depth listening. And this picture is wonderfully supplemented by Psalm 116 and verse 2, where we read that God bends his ear to listen to the cry of his people. And the picture here is of God stooping down in great tenderness to hear what his children have to say. And this picture just tells us so much about our God. He is the God who stoops. He is the God who bends down to listen to the cries of his people. He is the God who, in the person of his Son Jesus, comes right down where we are in order to save us, to rescue us. And here we have this wonderful picture of a God who loves to listen to the prayers of his children. If you're a Christian, I wonder how you feel about prayer. Does prayer sometimes seem like hard work? Do you sometimes feel that your prayers aren't really going anywhere past the ceiling? Do you feel that prayer is a duty or a chore rather than a joy? It's true, isn't it, that sometimes even as God's children we hesitate, we hold back from prayer. C.S. Lewis puts it in a wonderful way in one of his Narnia stories, where the character Shasta is lost up in the hills in the mist. And alongside him is a great presence, a great creature, someone who he doesn't know at all and who he fears greatly. But because of the mist, he can't see who it is that walks beside him, but he knows that he's there. And eventually Shasta summons up the courage to speak and says, "Please, who are you?" And Aslan answers him and says, "I am one who has waited long for you to speak." That's the picture that we have of our God in this psalm. He waits for the cries of his children. Our grandson, Henry, is now more than 9 months old, and he talks quite a lot, really, not in words that we can always understand, but he loves to communicate, and he does have now just two or three words that he can say and that he understands. And that's great. And we as grandparents were just so eager, whether it's on Zoom or whether it's face to face, just to hear what he has to say. How much more does God, as our loving Father, wait and long to hear what we have to say in prayer? What an encouragement for us to pray and not to give up, even in these difficult times. So first of all, you are heard. But secondly, I want you to see from this psalm that you are valued. Because listening is one of the ways that you demonstrate that you value another person, that you care enough about them and what they have to say in order to pause and to listen and to take time. And sadly, our world is often not very good at listening. People are much more concerned with what they want to say rather than listening to the other person. So listening then affirms value. I read a little while ago the words of a little girl who said, "I love my grandma very much because she always has time to listen to me." And that's how it is with our God. He values us. He loves us. And because of that, he is ready to listen to us, even in our darkest hour. And this was certainly David's experience. In verse 6 of our psalm, we read, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him." This psalm is set again in the time when David was on the run from King Saul, facing so many enemies. And it relates to an incident where David, in order to escape from his enemies, had to really behave in a way that must have been quite damaging to his self-image. He had to behave as if he was insane. He was down on all fours. He behaved like a complete madman. And eventually his enemies just drove him out because they couldn't believe he was of any importance at all. And I just wonder if David, in the midst of this dreadful situation, really did begin to doubt his own self-worth. He describes himself here as this poor man. I wonder if he even found himself wondering if he was so worthless that even God wouldn't have time for him. But that was not his experience at all. David says, I cried out, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and he delivered him. He delivered me from all of my troubles. Perhaps this morning you haven't ever come to a point of Christian commitment. Maybe you have prayed at times in your life, maybe as a child or maybe as an adult, when you felt very desperate about something and you felt driven, as it were, to prayer, but you've never prayed that prayer of faith, when you have come to God to confess that you're just going the wrong way, that you've been in rebellion against him, and that you need his forgiveness, you need a new start. You want to receive by faith his son, Jesus, as your saviour and Lord. Maybe you've been on the edge of that, but it hasn't happened in your life yet. If that is true, I want to say to you that God is waiting attentively, longingly, to hear you speak. He's waiting for you to come in faith. That's his grace. He values you. He loves you so much that he sent his son, Jesus, to die for you. And so thirdly and finally, David's message is, you are not alone. David tells us of a God who not only listens, who not only hears the cry of his people, but who takes action to remedy the situation. David's testimony is that the Lord delivered him from all his fears, and there were plenty of those. It may well be that some who are watching our service, taking part in our service this morning, some of you are facing fears, perhaps fear of the global pandemic, fear of what the future holds in terms of the economy, fear as to what your employment prospects are going to be, fear for our young people, for our children, for our grandchildren. Fear perhaps that's much more personal than that, perhaps, which has come from a difficult medical diagnosis or some other trouble that has come into your life. David says to us, the Lord delivered me from all my fears. He delivered me from all my troubles. He tells us in a most wonderful way that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. Please be assured this morning, whatever fears, whatever troubles you have, if you're brokenhearted, if you feel crushed in spirit, that the Lord is able to deliver you. It doesn't mean, of course, that your life, if you become a Christian, is going to be trouble-free. David's life certainly was not trouble-free at any point. There were all kinds of challenges, but God stood with him in the midst of those challenges and enabled him to win the victory in God's strength. And perhaps there's just one final thought for all of us from this psalm. We follow and we serve a God who listens. How important it is, therefore, that we, his people, should be good listeners, that we should come alongside ourselves, the fearful, the brokenhearted, those who are crushed in spirit, those who are in trouble, those who are in need, and that we should share with them the grace and the love of God that we have received in such abundance.
Well, thank you, Paul, for that message based on Psalm 34 and the really important reminder that God is there, that he does listen. And We should therefore be prepared to speak to him perhaps more frequently than sometimes we do. You will have received family news online or with the DVD, all sorts of information there. Of course, we have got our thoughts with Harvest and particularly thinking of others this morning as well. And just to remind you that there is that information there about how we can continue to support Find in a practical way and how also we can give gifts toward Tier Fund. So I do commend that to you. Many organisations are finding it through the pandemic. Support isn't there in quite the same way. And it'd be really great if we as a church family could continue to support them in the way in which we have in the past. We are looking forward to the opportunity for meeting together in the church next week. There's some information gone out about that in the course of this week that you will have seen or read. And please do consider coming to church if that's something that you'd like to do. And remember that you need to book by phoning Jill Mann on Wednesday, Thursday or Friday of the week preceding the service. Between 10 o'clock in the morning and 8 p.m. at night. But I'm really looking forward to this. It's a new venture for us. We understand that some folk will continue at home. That's absolutely fine. There will continue to be online services as well. But for some, I'm sure it'll be a great encouragement to come out and meet together and worship God at the church again. So we look forward to that. Well, look, there's many things to pray about, so please just join me as we come together in prayer. Oh God, our Father, we come to you today and we thank you for the way in which you've blessed us. You provide for our needs day by day. We not only have our needs met, but we thank you, Lord, that we have choice about what we choose to eat and drink, what we want to wear. We thank you, Lord, that we have huge variety and opportunity in our lives, that we live in a very fortunate part of this world. And yet, Lord, we know that even within our town, there are those who face real challenges and there are those spread across this world who are impoverished and needy. Lord, we pray that we might have that heart that reaches out to those who are in need, that we might honour you in the way in which we serve others who are less fortunate than ourselves. We pray, Lord, for the work of Find in our town, that you'll continue to bless Maureen and her team, that they might be effective in bringing practical support. And we thank you too, Lord, for the work of Tier Fund, for their experience and knowledge, and for their commitment to bringing practical help in the name of the Lord Jesus, often working with the local churches in the countries where they minister to demonstrate your love and your goodness in this way. Lord, we pray that as we give and consider that ministry, those ministries, that our hearts might be moved, and that, Lord, through our giving in some way, we might be able to bring blessing into the hearts and lives of others. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness in bringing Margaret Brock safely back to Ipswich following her operation on holiday in Cornwall. Lord, we commit her to you and ask that you'll continue to help her to gain in health and strength. We pray, Lord, for Belle Higgins and the situation concerning Colin. Lord, we pray that you'll draw near to them in their time of need. We pray, Lord, for Pat Sloan, who has been in hospital in this past week, and ask that you will help him as he has needed care recently. We pray too, Lord, for others. We just think of folks like Margaret and Ray Rumsby. Lord, we pray that you will draw near to them too. Lord, we thank you for these people, but they are also in a way representative of others within the church family. And we therefore just pause at this point to bring to you those who are upon our hearts and upon our minds. We thank you, Lord, for Eventide Homes. And we continue to pray for those who live there and those who work there, for the trustees, for friends and families who have loved ones there. We thank you, Lord, for the way in which you have sustained them and helped them over these many months, and ask, Lord, that you'll continue to give them the energy and help them, Lord, as they go into these winter months. And Lord, we thank you for the encouragement of the key being open and for those who have been able to come and enjoy that place. Lord, we commit that work and those involved in it to you this morning, and pray that you will continue to encourage them as they serve you in this way. And Lord, we do pray that as we approach the opportunity of meeting together as a church, and that you'll be with us in this, that we might have your wisdom and your help regarding these things, and that together, whether we're meeting physically or online, that we will still have that lovely sense of being united together in our Lord Jesus Christ. And these things we ask in his name. Amen. So we're drawing towards a close now, and we're going to have a lovely song which is called Day by Day, Hour by Hour.
Well, it's been lovely to share in worship with you all this morning, and with you, Andrew. And we do wish everyone God's richest blessing for this coming week. Mm. We're going to end now just with a word of benediction. Let's close in prayer together. Father God, we thank you that you are the God who speaks, and we ask that we will listen to your voice. We thank you that you are the God who listens. We pray that you will encourage us to speak to you, to come to you in our prayers. And we thank you that you are the God who acts, that you bind up the brokenhearted, that you calm our fears. May we know your presence and blessing with us, whatever our circumstances, in a special way. in the week ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.